Go ahead, gentlemen.
Good evening. You're listening to In Context, WPKN's live public affairs call-in show. We'll be giving out the number shortly. My name is Ken McDermott-Rowe. I'm here with Gus Cantavero.
Good evening.
We're on the first Sunday of the month at 10 p.m. and the first Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. And we'll take a look at, particularly tonight, at the TSA's searches, the new search policies involving full-body x-rays and friskings of passengers. But before we get into that and give out the phone number, we'll take a look at some of the recent news stories that you might have seen and may not have seen. Gus, there's some stories you'd like to bring to the listeners' attention?
Yeah. Just starting off the bat, let's just touch on a couple of headlines. We have U.S. government tries to keep troops in Iraq away from WikiLeaks. And there's a quote from, it says, IAW, in accordance with the DOD, Department of Defense, guidance and United States Forces Iraq Operational Security, all personnel are to refrain from viewing any of the articles pertaining to WikiLeaks releases on their DOD NIPR system. And there's a site that pops up as soon as the soldiers open the computer that automatically goes right to this warning and basically insinuates that they could be breaking the law by reading, forwarding, or searching for these terms.
And, of course, these are documents that are available now in newspapers like The Guardian. All over the world, newspapers are printing WikiLeaks articles.
Right.
And some of the interesting revelations, Gus, one is that the U.S. has been conducting an air war in Yemen. It's been suspected, but the documents show that we have been conducting it and that the head of Yemen has been playing ball with the U.S. by taking credit for bombings that the United States is carrying out. Another important discovery that we made through the WikiLeaks documents is that the United States has special forces on the ground in Pakistan. And probably not, won't come as surprises on people that are watching, but we now know it's happening, and Pakistan makes a big show of protesting U.S. incursions publicly, but privately they've been going along with it.
Yeah, they've been making those threats for a while. There were the Predator drones that were going across the border and massacring many civilians, and they said, one more time, and you know we're going to have to start firing back. And they kept on saying that, but nothing ever happened. Nothing ever came of it.
Here closer to home, the New York Times just reported that the unemployment rate has jumped to 9.8%. And the last month, only 39,000 jobs were created, which is far less than it would be needed just to absorb the current number, people who were entering the workforce, young
exactly.
people graduating from school, much less making up for the more than 15 million people who were out of work. And in one interesting statistic is that amongst the unemployed, there are 6.3 million who have been jobless for 6 months or longer.
Right.
And this is an unusually high a figure. And, of course, the stock market keeps chugging along.
That number, of course, is completely artificial, has nothing to do with people who have been forced into early retirement, who are living below survival. They're making less than their desired wages to maintain.
Right, underemployed people.
Underemployed is
people
the technical
given
term.
Up, people so
given
discouraged.
Up. People who have just stopped working entirely because it's just too difficult. So they just stayed home and they're just living on one income. Maybe that's maybe you had a two-income family and a spouse got laid off and then they just decided to just give up and just stay home. There's a lot of people who've gone back to school because they haven't been able to find a job. So they're going back to get their master's. We've seen a lot of people do that.
That's right. You go back to school and take yourself out of the workforce.
Exactly.
And you're no longer counted. So what's happened to the trillions of dollars that have been pumped into the economy by the Federal Reserve, by U.S. government?
What's happened to
it? The Treasury Department. It seems to be going into the hands of speculators. It's propping up the market. It's being recycled perhaps to investments in foreign currency because mm-hmm. this money's been available at nearly 0% rate by the Federal Reserve. But it's not creating jobs.
No, absolutely
it is
not.
In China.
Yeah, it's creating a lot of jobs overseas.
And now the Chinese...
I mean, it's like we have the supposed, just the other day, Friday, they have that big announcement that there's a new trade agreement with South Korea. And this is supposed to create so many jobs.
Like the Mexican free trade agreement,
yeah,
right?
But like South Korea is going to start buying GM cars or something like that. Don't you think they have their own automobiles that make more economic sense for their lifestyles?
Absolutely.
Like there is absolutely no reason for the South Koreans to buy anything we have to sell.
No, they're big importers to the United States
yeah.
of technological equipment. And Dave mentioned China, an interesting article in International Business Times recently. China and Russia have said they will renounce the U.S. dollar and use their domestic currencies in bilateral trade. And listeners, this is a huge shift that's underway now. away from the U.S. dollar. Right now, as you know, the U.S. dollar is the world reserve currency, mm-hmm. which has given us license to print trillions of dollars without people laughing at the American dollar. But the Chinese see this happening, and they are moving away, steadily moving away from the dollar, as other countries like Iran and Iraq was trying to do before we invaded them. And another interesting development, China, is they're encouraging their citizens to buy gold.
Yeah.
And one economist has speculated that the reason why they're doing that is they want a gold hoard in China so that when the Chinese currency, the yuan, becomes convertible, they will be able to turn this jewelry, these private collections, into gold currency to back up their currency, to create more currency and perhaps supplant the dollar.
And what does that tell you with all the people who are naysaying the gold-backed currency here in America, people who want to go back, like Peter Schiff and Ron Paul, they want to go back to a gold-backed currency, and they blame coming off the gold standard as the beginning of the downfall of the American dominance.
Well, they have a lot of, I don't know if necessarily that gold is necessary to back a currency, but since 1971, when the U.S. went off the dollar, went off the gold standard.
Yeah, it's not necessarily essential.
But we've lost about 80% of the value of the dollar since 1971.
It's kind of an open and shut case right there.
So it doesn't,
right?
It looks pretty.
And if you look at the other countries, they're looking to become the next superpower. That's the method that they're choosing.
Right. And we're just, when you're printing
it's
currency the
money.
Way we're printing, it's like the desperate act of a country on its way down. This is where obviously we can't keep going down this road. And listeners, when the U.S. currency is no longer the world reserve currency, I think the economy is really going to take another terrific hit.
Right. I've got a headline here. Iran rules out halting nuclear enrichment. This is from the Wall Street Journal just 2 days ago, actually today. And the first paragraph is Iranian Foreign Minister Manishar Mitaki on Saturday dampened the possibility for a breakthrough in next week's scheduled international talks over Tehran's nuclear program, blaming Washington for pursuing a confrontational policy towards his country instead of genuine diplomacy. One of the big things lately is from the WikiLeaks, there was talk about the internal discussion of the Iranian threat. And this is why I don't always take everything from WikiLeaks as being the God's honest truth, because some of the stuff in there really backs up the wrong side. Israel's intelligence and England and the United States' intelligence industry, it's really an industry, it says that, Iran has this nuclear threat and we need to take them out. Israel's been all about going to war with them for a while. And we know that they don't. And one of the things in this article that's kind of misleading, it says that U.S. and others, and there's always that like nameless and others to say that the United States has a crew of people who believe this.
Right.
Believe that Iran is attempting to build a nuclear weapon while Iran says it wants nuclear power for civilian purposes. It doesn't say who else believes this, but we know.
Of course, that's a great propaganda.
We know that it's other NATO countries. It's England
experts
and Israel.
Say,
experts
right.
say,
experts
right?
Our posse.
And who's involved in terrorism here? The New York Times reported last week that unidentified assailants riding motorcycles carried out separate bomb attacks against two of Iran's top nuclear scientists. Of course, the Iranians accused the United States and Israel as being behind it. I don't know who else would be behind it.
Were they Harley Davidson motorcycles?
Yeah, I mean, who would knock off these Iranian nuclear scientists? I mean, this is clearly an act of terrorism.
A motorcycle.
And who would be the list? I think we'd be on a short list of suspects. So, we've got a lot of nerve pointing.
This is a great quote from the Iranian minister. He says, we are of the analysis that what the Americans say and what their policies are showing is that they suffer from a paradox. He said, citing as evidence a lack of practical change on U.S. policies on Middle East peace efforts compared to those of former President George W. Bush. Also struck a defiant tone about Iran's relations with its neighbors in the Middle East, many of whom have said in public and private discretions, several of which were leaked in cables released by WikiLeaks. And they fear the Shiite country's growing political influence. And that is related directly to Iraq. They formerly were Shiite, now they're Sunni. And we don't get along with the Shiites at all because they make too much sense.
And of course,
they're not crazy enough.
That's an issue in Yemen where there's a Shiite insurrection. And the Saudis are really scared of that. And then we are seeing the Shiite religion spread to the West.
Yeah, and they claim the sanctions that Obama were hoping to have an effect have had no effect on them whatsoever. And their main reason for that is because most of the world doesn't see them as a threat. They've gone to France and they said, look, we'll even have you refine our uranium for us to guarantee that we aren't able to have nuclear weapons. And that wasn't good enough for the United States. They want to impose hardships that are so impossible that it leads only to war.
Well, who would look like the aggressor if you came from another planet? We've got Iran surrounded with armies and having invaded their neighbors.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
It looks like that we've got fleets in the Persian Gulf with you know, rockets trained in them.
I think a good way to analyze it is to say, like, say it's your house, you know, and like I'm at your house, all around you are people with guns. And they're trying to tell you that you can't defend yourself.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then, you know, you're kind of getting a little tense and nervous. And they're saying, you know, look, don't shoot. Look, he's got a gun. And then they all jump on you. You know, it's like they're baiting you into having a defensive attitude.
Yeah, well, obviously, it happens that they're sending out a lot of oil. And I think that's their problem. Gus, why don't we move on to the TSA story, which has been really a source of great controversy in the country. People are forced to go through, and when they go on an airplane, it looks like they surrendered their Fourth Amendment rights. They have to go through a process where they go through a full body screen. I think they have to lift their arms. I don't think you do it to somebody who's arrested for a felony. And if they don't do that, they get the alternative of getting a physical search. And I've seen videos of these being done on the YouTube, and they're really harrowing. I've seen children screaming in their parents' arms where they're being groped by people in uniform. I've seen a picture of a video of a girl who was practically beaten. She was beaten badly. She said she thought they were going to kill her, and her crime was she was carrying through a small container of saline solution for her contact lenses when these guards jumped her and gave her a
which
concussion.
Is legal,
which is saline solution.
I think,
it was unbelievable. I saw it on YouTube. These burly guards grab this woman, they throw her against a table, they grab her head, and they just smashed her head into the table, gave her a concussion. And she said in an interview afterwards, I thought they were going to kill me. Mm-hmm. This is for carrying some saline solution.
You hear that time and time again. So what is really going on, Ken? I mean, is it Blackwater that's running these?
Well, let's give out the phone number and see what some of our listeners think about this. Our phone number is 203-336-9756. That's 203-336-9756. Tell us what you think about this airport's body searches or any other issues that are on your mind. That's the one we're kind of focusing on tonight because it seems like a pretty good example of a government overstepping. But maybe you think this is a necessary step taken for your safety, or maybe you think this is the government's gone too far and they're depriving us of our constitutional rights.
What's that?
Do we have a call? Do we have someone on the line? Hello, listener. You're on the air, in contact. Thanks for calling.
Hello, how are you? Yes, I think the pat-downs or the groping is not necessary, but I think the body scans are more than adequate.
More than adequate?
Yeah, without the searches.
You think that the full body x-ray is not too intrusive, that people should not object to that?
No, but I can see them objecting to the pat-downs.
Well, all right.
Are you concerned that that's an invasion of your privacy or members of your family when their pictures of them are shown naked as they walk through these machines?
I'd be more concerned if somebody stuck a bomb on a plane I was on.
So you come out that this is an acceptable intrusion on your privacy.
Well, if I'm walking through the body scanner, what am I really hiding if I'm just walking through? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. Very good. I mean, I understand your point of view.
Well, I have a lot of concerns about the health risks of the scanners that have not been tested. Do you have any opinion on whether they should be more fully tested before we have pregnant women and children go through these body scanners?
Well, are they X-ray scanners? What kind of scanners are they? Is the technology put in place, or are they brand new? I don't know.
We're going to go over the facts of the health effects of these scanners, but there's two of them. One operates on a terahertz wave, which is the 1,000 times more powerful than your gigahertz wave that your mobile phone operates on, which we already know can cause brain cancer through prolonged use.
It's a microwave.
It's a microwave. And then the other one is an X-ray. That is what they call a soft X-ray, as opposed to a hard X-ray, which is like a chest X-ray that goes straight through your soft tissue to your hard tissue, which absorbs it and is distributed through your whole body mass. And I guess now's a good time to get into it since the caller
sure has brought it up, yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Got another call for
you. Oh, okay, caller, go ahead.
We had another call.
All right, that's all right. Let me just get into it real quick. I'll break it down. The there's two types of scanners. One runs on a terahertz wave, and another one runs on X-ray. And there are two types of X-rays. One of the main defense of the TSA has been for the safety has been that it's less radiation than is received by flying on an airplane, which you will receive a dose of solar radiation that has not been filtered through the atmosphere. Okay, with me so far? The type of radiation that you would receive from a chest X-ray is what they call a hard X-ray beam. So it's focused, and they put a filter on it so that it actually blocks out the soft X-ray. Now, the hard X-ray goes straight through and penetrates your skin and flesh and muscle and goes right down to the bone. And they measure the amount of dosage of radiation you receive by how much body mass you have. It's distributed amongst your body mass. And they say that a single cross-country flight on an airplane yields about 4 MREMs, MREMs of exposure. And a chest X-ray is about 10 MREMs. And you should not receive more than 10. If you do, it will be increasing your exposure to your risk of cancer by 3% per exposure.
Per exposure.
Okay.
And how do the chest X-ray compare to the body scan X-ray?
The soft X-rays are absorbed by your skin. Now, if there's any cells that should not absorb radiation, it's your skin cells, because they're the ones that most rapidly divide. So that leads to melanoma and all that sort of stuff. And they say that it's the backscatter scan, which is what these TSA whole body scanners are, yields only 0.002 MREMs of exposure. But when you are looking at the body mass, that is what they calculate the exposure radiation for from the hard and soft, you're multiplying that over a much shallower and softer organ, your skin. All right, your whole body mass of your skin is like, what, 4% of your body mass? So you have to multiply that soft X-ray exposure by the much lower body mass. Are you with me? This is not where my expertise is, so this was tough for me to get through today. So if you're looking at that, the exposure per unit of mass of tissue is 100 or more times bigger than for hard X-rays. All right, so the number that they're giving us is a fraudulent number. They're saying that it's for the hard tissue. They're saying your whole body mass. They're not isolating just the skin, which is all that it's doing. So a soft X-ray photon is absorbed nearly two times as often as hard X-ray photons. All these effects make the biological effects of radiation from the whole body scanners to be up to 10,000 times stronger than effects of the same dose of X-rays from a medical X-ray source, i.e. the equivalent effective dose of radiation would be more like 10 to 20 MREMs per scan. Okay? So they're already doubling the maximum amount that they say is safe. And
so this explains why Dr. Michael Love was quoted as saying, statistically, someone is going to get skin cancer from these X-rays.
Exactly.
And he's at the Department of Biophysics at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine.
Or he was.
Right.
And this is what I'm reading from is from lewrockwell.com. It's Vadim Antonov. And he has a great statistic here. We're talking about specifically the risk of cancer as a result of the exposure from these X-ray machines. And it says that we can estimate that about 225,000 of additional cases of cancer per year directly as a result of these scanners.
Who's the authority on this? Who's this coming
from? Well, they're using mathematical numbers, and they're saying 3%, which is your increased risk of cancer, per 1,000 MREMs. So it's 3% divided by 1,000 MREMs times 10 MREMs, which is the exposure you get each time you go through a scanner, which is cumulative. Okay,
that's a good point.
Times 750 million people,
which is why the flyers, I mean the pilots and the staff, do not want to go through them.
Right, and they fly all the time.
They fly all the time.
They might have to go through them twice a day.
This you're listening to In Context, and if you'd like to join the conversation, give a ring at 203. 336-9756, 203-336-9756. We're talking about the TSA's new body searches by X-ray and physical search. My name's Ken McDermott Rowe, and here with Gus Condivero.
And then the other scanner is the terahertz one, and that one is so new that we and these terahertz waves we know nothing about because they've
it's a great term for a terror. Yeah,
But now we're going through all this stuff.
Well,
now,
just say it really quick. It's the same type of radiation that a cell phone uses, and when you get up to the terahertz level, it actually begins to resonate with certain DNA molecules in your body.
That's
and when you have a resonant frequency, it actually causes DNA to break apart. So when you expose yourself to an unknown level of terahertz radiation...
Also, we don't know who's running this machine. We don't know if it's properly set, what dose of X-ray. We don't know. Do we have a call now?
Yeah.
Very good. Hello, caller. You're on the air in context.
Good evening, Ken. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Good evening.
At one point, I actually thought it tends to get looked over quite frequently in the issue of TSA and Homeland Security and the whole nine yards. I'm sure many of our listeners know of this organization, particularly those in their mid to late 20s, the Irish Republican Army. Any listener can go on the web and look them up. But in the period of between 1990 and 1999, they committed approximately 14 acts of terrorism, most in Britain, most notably the Baltic Stock Exchange bombing in London, which cost approximately, this is a figure off of Wikipedia, anyone can look it up, 800 million pounds worth of damage, the equivalent of $1,600 million worth of damage. And this was made with a rather simple, the details of which I'm not at liberty to divulge, but let's just say it was made with rather simple devices, things that could be bought at Home Depot. If somebody is seriously going to commit acts of terrorism in the continental U.S., surely the Irish Republican Army, we're not super terrorists. An idiot could go to Home Depot and purchase whatever's necessary, and they would be committing acts of terrorism. They wouldn't be sneaking bombs in their underwear to blow up airplanes.
Are you saying that Home Depot is a terrorist organization?
So I see your point, caller, is that if there was a terrorist in the United States who wanted to do damage here, he probably wouldn't need to go to an airport and try to sneak on an airplane.
But not just that.
He could just go to any place where people get soft target, like a shopping
mall,
and create a lot of destruction with some easily obtainable
explosives. How about that the scanners don't even protect people from stuff like PETN that the underwear bomber had sewn in his underwear?
Is that true? They didn't even catch up?
Or the PTN that was placed in the ink cartridges in the to be shipped on the airplanes, which, by the way, is a military-grade explosive, but that's beside the point.
So, that isn't necessarily beside the point, caller, because who the heck was this underwear bomber anyway, and how did he get on the plane?
We've covered this on the show before.
And that some of these situations may, in fact, be false flag operations. And if you look at that underwear bomber who's cited over and over again, it certainly looks like he was put up to it. Here was this man. Let's look at him. He was
Abdul Farouk Umar Mutalib.
Exactly. And his father had reported. His father, who was the chairman of the First Bank of Nigeria, his father's extremely wealthy and prominent Nigerian, had reported him to U.S. authorities as a terrorist problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no question that the U.S. intelligence people knew about him.
And they let him fly.
In fact, the State Department had not wanted to issue a visa to him. And in testimony by an assistant secretary of state named Kennedy, he said, "We were going to let him fly, but someone from an intelligence agency, an agency he would not name in a public session, overrode the State Department, and ordered that he be allowed to travel."
Yeah.
So what's going on here? We have these staged events. Let's face it, these certainly look like staged events in order to give a pretext for putting through more restrictive
searches. Well, who are the real terrorists here? I mean, can I give you one more stat? You know, I mentioned how the increased rate of cancer, and this is in addition to 2 million cases diagnosed in U.S. yearly, resulting in approximately 1,700 additional deaths. This makes these machines about 6 times more dangerous than terrorists. The average number of people killed in terrorist attacks is only about 286 per year for the 11-year period spanning 95 through 2005. So, I mean, who's the real terrorist here?
So are the machines themselves in the process a false flag, Ken?
Well, I think that the false flag operations like the underwear bomber then create the pretext for greater intrusions on our on our civil liberties, which is all about building this national security state in order to suppress dissent and keep us going along with permanent war.
How about building a very expensive infrastructure? Someone's going to become very wealthy.
One of those someones is Michael Chertoff, the former head of Homeland Security, who was always introduced on television as the former head of Homeland Security. But in an interview on CNN, the very astute Campbell Brown said, isn't it true, Mr. Chertoff, that you, as a member, as a partner in your firm, Chertoff Group, represent the manufacturers of these scanners? And he said, I had to admit, yes. So as he's going around the country touting the need for these scanners and citing the underwear bomber, he is in fact selling these machines. Yeah. And this stinks. This is the kleptocracy.
A point that doesn't get addressed is the aggressive nature of the scans. I think that's one thing that people are offended by.
Not
that it has to be. Of course, it may have to be done, but the aggressive.
Well, you know, that's what I think. Our call. Are you still online, caller?
Go on.
Oh, okay.
That does it have to be done? Is this serving any useful person? I think that was what the caller was raising. You can go into Home Depot and buy the stuff for a bomb, and you can get it. You could go to a shopping mall or any public. You could go to an airport and blow up people who were just standing in line waiting to be scanned if you wanted to do that.
The other point that doesn't get addressed is, I would say virtually all the threats come from external. And why are we so concerned with internal flights? We should be concerned with flights from overseas. Mm-hmm. We should be concerned with those connections. And internally, there really has been much of a Is it really that much of an issue?
There hasn't been a single terrorist in the past 10 years that hasn't been a patsy for the FBI or had foreknowledge of. We've known about every single one of the terrorist attacks.
Well,
beforehand.
How about the recent Portland, Oregon bombing? What's the gentleman's name? Mohammed. And this 19-year-old who was arrested in Portland, Oregon. He was going to set off a bomb. It turned out to be an elaborate fake supplied by government agents. The public was never in danger.
Well, that's a sad story in itself.
Okay, but that's a sad story, but this is how they're creating this fear in this country, that this man was driven. He was driven with an agent to downtown Portland to set the bomb.
That's to make sure he didn't chicken out.
Exactly. He was given, the agent gave him the cell phone that was intended to ignite the bomb.
That they would use to track
him. This is what you call an agent provocateur. Operation and this is what they go on. This is what our government goes on to keep us scared. Mm-hmm. And when we did a show some time ago called "From the Pinkertons to the FBI" with Ward Churchill, he showed how these very same tactics have been used by the police, national police in the United States, ever since the 19th century, starting with the Pinkertons planting evidence on people, fomenting union leaders to try to get them to engage in acts of violence so they all could be arrested, as in the case of the Molly Maguires. So this case is just another one that's a Portland.
Well, we had a caller bring up the IRA. How many times were the IRA, the agents from MI5 were posing as the IRA, going out and just doing random shootings?
That's right. That's right.
You know, I mean, it happens constantly, and people don't remember that the person who was doing that stuff was actually not even part of the group.
That's right. Turned out they were. And we know this happened in Iraq, too. The British seem to be very good at these false flag operations.
They're good at them. Yeah.
Where the occasion, a couple years ago, a group of men disguised as Arabs were going around shooting people, and it turned out they were British servicemen.
Remember, a couple of those guys were actually kidnapped, and they had the photos, and they were white guys wearing turbans.
That's right.
Those two British guys.
And I think they were busted out of jail by the British Army.
They were recovered.
They were recovered because they were British.
I think I saw them in Greenwich, on Greenwich Avenue.
We're at 203-336-9756. We're talking about the TSA's new body searches and body scans. If you'd like to weigh in on that or any other important issue that's important to you, please give us a ring at 203-336-9756 because the airways belong to the people.
Here's an article from Infowars.com, the headline, ACLU, Flying Americans Fear Being Put on Government Watch List. And it says the ACLU has received a high volume of complaints about the new airport screening procedures and that some travelers say they have not filed official complaints with the TSA because they are fearful of being placed on a government watch list. So you basically have a system here that has intimidated people to such a level that they won't even complain about it anymore.
That's right. And I think that, the keyword there is intimidation.
It's a system that works, Gus.
It's intimidation.
It's
like the dragnet for wiretapping phones. You want to get people scared. You don't know if the government's listening. And we now know they're branching out into cell phones
right.
and emails.
And the number of people in the month of November that complained was over 1,000 people. And the complaints came from men, women, and children who reported feeling humiliated and traumatized by these searches, and in some cases comparing their psychological impact to sexual assaults.
You know, you would think that if they were going to approach scanning and searching legitimately, they would have just then quietly done it.
Well, that depends what the purpose is, and I think
that's
purpose,
what I'm trying to get.
That's
at,
right. That's right. This is not a sincere.
Do you want to continue that thought?
Yes, continue the thought, Ken.
No, as you suggest, this is not sincere. After all, we know that only 1/5 of all air cargo is screened for bombs. So all of this stuff is coming in every day. It's not being screened. If you wanted to put it in, put a bomb in cargo, there's an 80% chance nobody'd look at it.
Right.
So you.
I'd take those odds.
So there are plenty of opportunities. Exactly. Why would you do that? You know, it's interesting, too, as we've often said on this program, when we raise these issues of government abuse of power, it's not a conservative or a liberal issue, a Democrat and a Republican issue. And that was illustrated recently when there was a presentation made by a group of New Jersey state legislators objecting to this, led by a New Jersey state senator named Mike Doherty, who happens to be Republican, but in his group he had Democratic.
Well, we have to do this the right way, a corrupt New Jersey state senator.
And these guys, well, Senator Doherty was really irate about it. He said, this is not about left-right. He said, it's about up with freedom and down with government and tyranny. He went on to say, the Western world has been an open society, and we're seeing it turned into a prison camp. And he and the others went on to recount their specific. This was a senator, state senator Mike Doherty, a Republican in New Jersey, joined by a bunch of Democrats. And they're demanding that this new scanners and body searches be discontinued at the airports in New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, the concerns beside, you know, it's almost kind of hard to convince people that they're unnecessary because, I mean, we had a caller already say, hey, it's better than having a bomb on my plane. But what if you knew that this radiation actually mutates your sperm and that if you were to try to conceive a child soon after flying, you actually could have a stillborn because it mutated your DNA? I mean, think of how close to the surface that tissue is.
I think some people, the health issue is paramount. For other people, it's like the Senator Doherty and it's the freedom issue. But it was interesting. One of the ladies that state senators that was standing with them, for her, it was the health. It was the privacy issue. It was the fact that she didn't want to be seen naked. But for another lady state senator, it was the health issue.
I know.
She'd been treated for cancer. Right. She didn't want any more x-rays.
But her other option is to be now frisked. You have to have some weirdo put their hands down your pants.
Well, I don't know how you feel, but if you fly, Dave, when you fly and you're standing in that line, I just feel like they're doing a head job on me, that they're trying to show me who's in charge, and it's not me, it's them.
That's not – really the point. The point is to do a frisk. I mean, I've been frisked in airports. I've never had my gonad squeezed.
But don't you get that feeling when you're standing in line that part of this exercise, well, perhaps because we know about 9/11, we know it was a false flag operation. We know these events are staged.
Well, you know it, Ken. Other people don't.
Okay, well, let's talk about 9/11. I think because you can't really see this whole war and this whole police state that's being imposed on us without coming to the grips with the fact that
is it just a reactionary thing? Is it
9/11 was, the causa belli here, was fabricated by our government. I mean, it actually happened, but it was not. Our government's lied to us about what's happened. It's quite clear now. The scientific evidence is compelling that those buildings, the World Trade Center and the Twin Towers and Building 7, were brought down into controlled demolition. And we have the top general, top intelligence army intelligence man, Major General Albert Stubblebine, saying that there is no question in his mind that a plane did not hit the Pentagon. These attacks have been totally lied. We've been lied to about it. That's what the general said in his televised interview.
I always try to bring up the foreknowledge because even if people can't get behind the controlled demolition part of it because they just find there's too many question marks, we knew that they were planning an attack. We were in contact with them. They were living under FBI informants in Florida.
These are the alleged
hijackers. You know, there was just way – look it up.
They were studying a government, secret government, secure government facilities. They were taking flying lessons.
They were being watched the entire time.
CIA
look
airport
up,
training place.
Look up Able Danger, That's the information network that was looking up all these guys and had triangulated all their locations and looked up everything that they were doing and said, these guys are planning something. They're in the country. He tried to schedule a meeting with George Bush multiple times. He was denied. He was given an interview the third time. Bush was not there, but instead Condoleezza Rice met with the leader for 30 minutes and then did nothing with the information. Then after 9/11 happened in the hearings, he was interviewed on the panel, and pretty much everything he said was stricken from the 9/11 Commission report. What else can you say?
And if you want to know more about this, listeners, we have some very good discussions with the leading researchers on the subject, David Ray Griffin and Stephen Jones. If you want to go to our website, incontextreport.com, you'll see links to these interviews that I did for my series History Counts, and they lay out the evidence. And Stephen Jones is a physicist, and he presents the controlled demolition evidence. And it's really, there's not much you can say against it, which is why he's not allowed on the corporate media. Right. Why David Ray Griffin?
He better not show up at a TSA.
I wonder. Yeah, exactly. I wonder how they treat him when he flies. So I think when you get back to the false flag of 9/11, and you seek one after another these agents provocateurs, situations attempting to scare us, to give up our civil rights.
But what's the point of terrorism? What's the definition of terrorism? It's to terrorize you, right? To get you scared. What are the TSA agents doing? They're terrorizing the hell out of people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like they would. Not only that, but look at the people they hire. Time after time after time, it's found that the screening procedures that they have for their own employees are less thorough than a flyer trying to board an airplane. Like, they have multiple pedophiles and rapists and sexual
it's
predators.
It's not about safety. Yeah. It's about theater.
They have
it's
all kinds of people
up,
out there that
it's
are just
like keeping up the scare.
They're just dying to get a chance to grope somebody.
This was in 2007. The TSA did a classified report which leaked out, which showed that screeners at the Los Angeles International Airport missed about 75% of simulated explosives.
Because they're too busy getting a thrill out of gripping people.
So this is not about our safety. It's about theater.
They're minimum wage employees. The guys looking at the X-ray machines when you put your bag through, they have no idea what they're looking at. The guys who are doing the quick mirror searches under the UPS truck at the airport, they don't know what they're looking for. It's all theater.
If you're going to maintain a global war of indefinite duration where – And the enemy is anybody you decide from day to day. He might be in Yemen. He might be in Pakistan. He might be anywhere. Then you've got to keep the
he
people
be
behind you.
Might be in Shelton.
Got to keep exactly. So if you see anything, you're supposed to say something, right?
Right.
I mean, what kind of country is? I think we got to get rid of this whole pack of people who are running this country, and I'm saying Democrats and Republicans.
But
we also have
to have regular civilians just disobey, not listen, don't do it, don't go through the scanners, don't let them frisk you when you're going down the street, and just because you're videotaping a building, don't let the police hassle you. Know your rights.
You're starting to sound like Fox News.
Fox, what?
That's what they say. Stand up for your rights. Don't be scanned. We're going to protest.
Well, this, I think Fox News is kind of brilliant.
Well, it's a popular movement. They want to get behind anything that can bring ratings.
Yeah. Right. Have they come out?
They're not the ones that originated that idea.
Have they come out? Is Fox News editorializing?
You know why they're behind that? Because there's a Democrat in the White House. When there was a Republican in the White House, they say that you're aiding and abetting the enemy because you don't want to be frisked.
Right, right. They would change their...
But as soon as in 2 years, when we have another president and it's a Republican because this one stinks and we get a new one, they'll be on the other side of the coin. War is great. Frisking is great. X-rays are great.
I think that this TSA is just a bungled enterprise.
Do you think, Dave, that they overstepped themselves? In other words, for year after year, ever since 9/11, they've been taking away our rights, and maybe they went a little. They skipped ahead too far on this one, because it seems like it's a PR disaster, if nothing else.
I just wonder what they're really driving at, because it seems like it's pretty easy to. It's really easy to frisk people. We know how to do that. We know how to check people for weapons. We know how to check people for explosives. We know what we're looking for.
But you need probable cause to do it. If a cop stops you in the street, he can't.
Well, there
just
will.
Frisk
you're,
it, right?
you're at an airplane terminal.
You don't surrender your rights just because you need to fly an airplane. I've heard a government official say that you have no right to fly. And I think this is a fascist kind of mentality. Is it's a privilege to be able to travel,
right? And you just said you gave it away because you said that, you said you have to submit to the search or you don't fly. But if you submit to the scan, Like, that's still, why is that a better alternative? They're still looking through your clothes. It's just a digital frisk, just because they're not putting their hands on you. So it's still a violation of your Fourth Amendment.
And why should we submit to this when we know that these searches are really just for show? When 80% of the cargo is coming in that hasn't been checked, and that if there were real terrorists out there, they would have
plan on flying anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm planning actually on flying in January. Yeah, and I don't know what I'm going to I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if they're doing these at random or
it's totally random.
So
why it's so stupid.
That's why it's part
of
the theater.
I've got a roll of aluminum foil for you.
You know,
I don't know what I'm going to do. I know I'm not going to go through the scanner. I'll tell you that.
Because
I am not going to expose my health.
There's all the risk to your eyes, cornea, retina. There's all kinds of problems.
No way I'm doing that.
I mean, the thing, it's random. All right. The searches are random. You could show up and all of a sudden they're scanning. Just like on the Thanksgiving day, how they said that the opt-out day was a failure. The only reason why is because they just shut the scanners down.
I see.
Brilliant. That's
so nobody refused.
They said, look, we only got 49 complaints on the day before Thanksgiving. Yeah, because you weren't searching anybody. And the day after Thanksgiving, they weren't
scanning.
Are there
plans
scanning.
To make everyone do it or no?
What? They would like to. This is the training. Yeah.
This is the training.
I mean, one time I flew out of Miami airport to come back to New York, and this is before they had the body scanners. They had these air puff things that sensed Bob material on you.
Right.
I was randomly pulled out, made to walk through this thing. I was infuriated.
So they hit you with a big puff?
Yeah. You walk through this thing, you hold your arms in the air, and it goes puff, 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 puff up your body.
What is it supposed to do?
It's supposed to, by puffing you with this air, sense bomb material. Whatever that means. And so it can smell it on you, basically. It's like like a digital dog. I was so mad, you know, and I was like, why? Because I'm dark-skinned? Like, what is it? You know, what's the deal? Because I bought my air ticket late at night and my full name is Agostino and my credit card says Gus? I mean, what the heck? What reason do you have?
Well, they're protecting America.
They totally are. Yeah, we all know I'm dangerous, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, from the sound of you, you could be. Words are dangerous.
Having emotion these days is dangerous. You know, it's like if you object to some pedophile groping your daughter and you get mad, if he's wearing a badge, you're a domestic extremist. You're going to prison, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, there's tremendous resistance to this, but I don't know where it's going to go. I mean, what's your sense? Is it government will back down on this, or they just ride it out?
They may back down. I mean, look, with the opt-out day worked, and even though they touted it as a failure, they didn't scan anybody. So it was a success. They know they're afraid of popular movements.
Yeah.
They don't want to test the idea that people will disobey.
Yeah.
They're terrified that people may actually get some momentum out of it. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they knew what to do. They shut off the machines. That's pretty good.
And then they say they didn't. They just say they do it, but they don't say that they did it.
Right. Well, there you go. Brilliance in action.
They're very smart. But that's why we have to get up here and we have to tell people that that's actually what happened. And
that's
right.
I did not know that, Gus. That does not surprise me. They're always trying to stay a step ahead of us.
Yeah, I think we should all just stop paying our income tax, too. Are they going to arrest us all?
Well, this is it. I think that we are the sleeping giant. The people are the sleeping giant. That's why it's important to propagandize us and also create these manufactured dissent groups.
I think that's our new outro music.
I think so.
All right. Well, this does it for another edition of In Context.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We're on the first Sunday of the month at 10 p.m. and the first Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. So we will be back with you, Dave, on New Year's Day, January the 1st, Sunday.
We're going to be here New Year's Day?
New Year's
Day.
I think
you're going to be here.
And we'll also be back January the 5th. We have a special guest, Ellen Brown, the author of Web of Debt, who's launched a movement.
Web of Death?
Web of Debt, and she's an expert on banks. She's written a brilliant book called Web of Debt on the money system and on banks, and she's launched a movement to create a public banking system in this country. If you're wondering where the trillions of dollars it's gone to the pocket of this private banking cartel, and she thinks we're going to do away with it and have a public banking system. So that should be an interesting show.
Yeah, I walked by, there's a Bank of America, the main branch on Park Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they gutted the building. The only thing left in the building is a giant...
It's a pile of money.
Giant safe. It's just, you look in the window of this building, there's this gigantic safe. All right, good night. Your website?
In Context.
incontextreport.com. And you can get the podcast there and all previous shows and news and upcoming news and everything like that.
And send us a note.
Pictures? There are pictures of you so we can identify you?
Naked, but there's naked pictures of us.
Just from the, I think my picture's up there. I don't know.
No, we don't have any pictures.
Oh, we'll put pictures up.
Red free.
I definitely have the face for radio.
All right, Ken.
Thanks, Dave.
Keep the shades down and walk quietly to the car.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Have a good rest of the show.
See you.